Welcome back to Vox Voice. I'm your host, Olivia Maia, the multimedia editor at Vox Magazine, and in this episode, multimedia producer Arabella Cosgrove interviews the Columbia native country duo Creekside Revival. The band comprises Isaac Schneider, who is a student at Columbia College, and Andrew Allen, who goes to the University of Missouri. Allen and Schneider both contribute equally to their songs and have a mutualistic relationship when it comes to writing, singing, and backing up the vocals with their guitars. Creekside Revival has a large following on Instagram, a little under 10,000 followers, but they are humble about going viral, recently leveraging their popularity to perform at a charity show at Centennial Park. Cosgrove, Allen, and Schneider talk about what it means to be in an authentic band in the episode, so let's dive in.
What was the inspiration for Creekside Revival?
Well, Andrew and I used to be in a band called Freedom Spring. We were playing out a pretty decent amount, I think. And then I broke my wrist. And obviously, as a guitar player, that was kind of a problem. So we had three shows lined up down in Springfield at the Ozark Empire Fair. We had to get somebody else to play guitar. My dad jumped in and helped out too. But basically, there was a moment when these two guys that we really look up to said, you guys need to sing together. That's when we kind of started thinking about the duo and going from there. And then I think the name came in like August of last year. I texted Andrew and I was like, dude, I have an idea. What about Creekside Revival? I'm all in. And he texted back and said, meh.
Well, I don't know why I didn't like it, but I knew that I didn't. But I'm also not too argumentative for the most part.
And what is your process for creating music?
Well, it's a little bit different for both me and Isaac. For me, it starts with the words, and then the music comes behind it, and it's all about that storytelling element.
Well, for me, I know the music has always come a little bit more naturally, so it's taken, I think, more effort for me to get some good songs out. I definitely lean more towards, like, maybe these kind of weird details that don't matter. And then Andrew likes simple stories. And I think because of that, we kind of get this cool, like, meet in the middle. I don't know. There's a cool variety with our songs, I think.
And what is your relationship between country music and the community around you?
A little backstory. My dad has four fingers on his left hand and has always played guitar. He just one day started teaching me. And it really pissed me off because I didn't understand what the chords he was playing were, because he has four fingers, so he plays them differently. It's always been a family thing. My grandma played, my grandma's grandma played, and that just passed down to me.
I'd kind of have to agree. Two of my grandpas play, and every time, so my family's from Kansas, every time we'd go back to Kansas, me and my grandpa would sit around and play Johnny Cash songs. He'd play fiddle or he'd play guitar, and I think that's kind of where it started for me. It's not that hard to get connected with good musicians in town. I think, honestly, the hardest part is getting venues to say yes. I mean, it's definitely a process, but I think there's a really good community of musicians, whether that be like church musicians or just gigging around. But yeah, I think we're definitely both a part of that, and it's a cool thing.
Which one of your songs is most special to you?
So, like background on the five songs that we have out, for the most part, the split is like 50-50. Two of the songs that are out right now, I wrote. Three of the songs that are out right now, Isaac wrote. It's personal, more so than like our collective opinion. But honestly, I love Forest Fire. There's something about that song that I really, really enjoy. The way that one is speaks to me. And, you know, also Darlin' is, you know, important to me. It's about the people that you love.
I remember when I wrote Forest Fire. Actually, I don't remember writing it, but I remember, I don't know, it must have been some type of experience. I brought it to Andrew. Honestly, we're kind of sometimes hard on each other when we write songs because, like, both of us have to come to agreements. And when I brought it to Andrew, I was a little nervous because I really liked it. And Andrew was like, oh, we got to record this song. And I was like, let's roll.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first songs that you sent me that I was like, wait a second. That's like, I don't hate this.
And recently you released Nashville. So tell me what that song means to you guys.
So a buddy of mine was in Nashville for a while, and I kind of heard some of the stories he told. One day I just sat down and that song came out. I mean, obviously we don't live in Nashville. We live in Columbia, Missouri, but I think maybe something about connecting to that dream a little bit and then telling the story and writing it down on paper.
Do you see any similarities between Nashville and Columbia on a small scale?
Sometimes if I leave my house or my dorm, I'm like, Yeah, there's a guitar on my back right now.
It's kind of interesting. The way I view Nashville, like the song, is more along the lines of, what's wrong, Nashville? Where did you go? And I think with that, you can sort of take that country music isn't Nashville. Country music is country music, no matter where you play it, no matter where you write it.
So you guys use social media to promote your music. How has social media helped you to grow your following?
There was a dude, his name is Nate White, and he told Andrew and me that we needed to post every single day. And I really didn't want to do that. I just wanted to let the music do the talking. And I'm really glad that we started doing that, because we had a video of us singing the song that's out now, Soul Cowboy. It was last, I think, February. And we put that song out, and then it just kind of exploded. There were people in my dorm that come up to me, they'd be like, yo, I saw you on my For You page. A lot of people saw that video, and it brought a lot of traction for us and a lot of growth in ways that I'm definitely super thankful for, and I know that you are too, Andrew. Most of the people that have listened to our music have probably come from social media or our circle.
When something like that happens, it's exciting, because you have all this wild growth all at once, like 1,500 followers in a day, 1,000 the next, and you start imagining all these things that could happen, all these places that it could take you. But at the same time, it's almost a scary thing, because, like, with that, I don't know, what goes up must come down, and most things that just take off like that don't last very long. I'm glad that it wasn't, like, an extreme growth, like millions, you know, because I don't know that we'd be ready to take on a status like that, take on that amount of responsibility. I'd rather grow slow and have less growing pains, you know.
And on your Instagram, you have in your bio that your music can be described as authentic, impactful music for good-hearted folks. Tell me more about what that statement means and how that shapes your brand.
When we were talking about what we wanted our mission statement to be, it was like you expressed this idea that you wanted to be able to have our music be played on Christmas, the entire family in the house, Thanksgiving, the entire family in the house, and not have to worry about the content of it, and not have to worry that it will make anybody feel bad.
Another thought to that is with the authentic and impactful, we wanted, when we play live, we want people to be able to not really have to worry about what's going on in that moment, but we're just up there playing music, and we want them to feel connected to that. That's something that Andrew and I talk about before every show. And a buddy of ours actually came up to us one time after a show, and we were talking about it, and he was just like, man, every time you play, it's like, I'm not really worrying about what's going on. I just get to enjoy what's happening right there in the moment. That was a really good moment, because it meant that we were accomplishing what we were trying to.
Yeah, music is an escape for us, and so it's a really good, awesome opportunity to be an escape for other people in that.
So it sounds like you've established a really personal relationship with your audience. Can you talk more about that?
The majority of our audience is, like, we know them. Like, it's our friends. We just get to make music for our friends, and I think hopefully we can hold on to that and get to know people. That's something we try to do. We try to remember names. Sometimes we go out of town, and I know there's a dude with a mustache, and I know that I've got his name written down in my phone, and it's like, I want to remember that guy. He's a cool dude.
Going back to the venues, what has been your favorite performance or venue you've played at?
You know, it's a toss-up between two for me. I think either our last show over at Sentinel Park, incredible group of guys. That was incredible. And the music, it was the best music we've ever played. But I also think that the first time playing at the Blue Note the other day, that was also like an incredible, like, moment, an incredible feeling to feel that your music actually is, like, bringing value to people. And that your art is actually making people feel something.
And you mentioned your concert at Sentinel Park, and that was the charity event. Tell me what that was like to be able to raise $3,600 for children facing hunger.
It was definitely super cool to be a part of. I think we should definitely say that was not all us at all. I think we were just a little avenue that was there. We were just another reason to bring people in. It was for Stephen McBee's birthday party. And I think one of the missions that he's had in his life is to raise money for Kids Against Hunger. And I think the number was actually enough to feed 6,333 kids. And I don't know, it was great to play music and be a part of that. Like, it was super cool. And I think McBee definitely did a great job putting that on.
What does the future of Creekside Revival look like, and are there any projects in the works?
I think we're just going to try to stay on the same path, going to make a few trips, maybe over to old Nashville, Tennessee, and play a little bit of music. But I think really just we want to keep doing what we're doing and keep growing, and keep growing our more, most importantly probably right now, is the local crowd and the social media, so we can just have that behind us as we keep going, and then pretty soon we've got some more songs stored up, and so maybe those will be coming out, yes, compiled together. Some would call it an album.
That was Arabella Cosgrove, one of Vox Magazine's multimedia producers, interviewing Andrew Allen and Isaac Schneider of Creekside Revival. Creekside Revival's new song, Nashville, came out September 29th, and the duo is looking forward to performing it live. Be sure to check out Creekside Revival's live recorded performance on Vox Magazine's Instagram and TikTok, and keep tuning in to Vox Voice for more perspectives from your Columbia community. I'm Olivia Maillet.